Here, Andres Silva with Thiago Garcia.
Hello.
And this is No Mutar, and we are with
Sunny Alconhenda.
So, you've been coming for Comic-Con also last year. What have you brought to show to people this year in the Comic-Con?
I brought lots of prints, prints of various sizes. You mean what subjects?
Yes, it's just to give an idea what your work consists of.
Okay, so a lot of my work has been of Lord of the Rings and other works by J.R. Tolkien, so The Hobbit and The Silmarillion. Some of it was based on the books, some of it was based on the movies. I worked in the past for merchandising companies who did work for the movies, for The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So I'm very familiar with the faces and the costumes and the characters. But I personally love the books themselves. So for my own personal, selfish enjoyment, I've been creating illustrations for The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings and The Silmarillion, which has been, which hasn't received as much attention until now. And so that's been most of what I brought, not only, but also.
When we look at your work, it's very detailed, very old school in its sensibilities. But I would like to ask, what draws you to this universe, to the world of Middle-earth and these more fantastical worlds that you draw so much?
Interesting question. Yeah, because I don't just draw Lord of the Rings. I take a lot of influences from literature, but it is, as you say, it is old literature, Regency and Victorian, the traditional Gothic horror, from Frankenstein to the works of Lovecraft. I find something with a historical turn to it has more romance and more magic and more mystery, because I believe the modern world lacks a certain sense of magic and mystery. Now, everything is so accessible and so mechanical that there's a feeling of a... Oh, I've lost my train of thought. An antique sort of beauty in everything from Cthulhu all the way back to medieval fantasies. And I think it gives us an escape from the world, from the things that are mundane, that are boring, that are depressing, from work, from school. And it makes us feel connected to ancient history and to worlds that we may not be able to ever visit in real life.
When a person comes to your booth, I think the first thing that a person is drawn to is your prints that are done with metal, ink, gold, silver. It's very eye-catching. I would like to ask, how do you do it? What are the tricks, the obstacles into doing such kind of work and painting? I mean, when I look at it, it seems such something out of this world to be able to do such careful work with this, with metal such as this. I would like to ask, how do you do it?
One of the most important things is to be able to see it really clearly. So I use a jeweler's lens so that I can see very, very fine detail, anywhere between 3 and 8 magnifications, so I can see very fine. And I use everything from gold paste to liquid gold to 22 karat gold leaf, which is extremely expensive and terrible to use because it's so light. If you breathe out, it literally just floats away or it sticks to your face. I think I've inhaled so much, my lungs must be very valuable now. But I find I like to choose the areas in the work that naturally have brilliance or warmth or light. And then to enhance that by the use of reflective media, either gold or silver leaf, or a medium that has crushed pearls in it for a sort of soft moonlight luminescence, or actual tiny glass and crystal beads for jewellery and details. And I find it creates an image that's halfway between a painting and almost a sculpture. Makes it a little bit more 3D and realistic.
Also beyond that, I see that your work has a lot of earthly tones in its yeah, color palette. But there's also some work that diversifies more blues, more pinks, for example. I would like to ask, do you have a preference when it comes to color palette, or do you try to be more diverse in your work?
Well, I work traditionally anyway, so my methods are also quite traditional. I tend to start by priming my surface with ochres and brown colors in the same way that painters from 200, 300, 400, 500 years have done. And then I work on top of that. So brown is brown and gold and sepia is prevalent. And I find those colours very warm and comforting. But yeah, I'm trying to diversify and get more colours of the landscape. But I don't like bright, modern, artificial colours, because everything I'm drawn to is quite old and traditional and old-fashioned and vintage, including my clothes and my literature. So the colours match my aesthetic and my ideals.
Beyond that choice of colour palette, what are the other tricks of the trade that you use to give it that more old and withered look that just seems to be taken from another time that's not our own?
One of the things is always to look and research artists who have gone before that you really, really love. I'm quite inspired by stained glass, for example, medieval stained glass. And a lot of people see that in the way that my lines are divided and I use areas of colour. I'm also very inspired by medieval illuminations and by classical paintings and by the golden age of illustration, Arthur Rackham, Edmund Dulac from the end of the 1800s. And so I find looking at how artists have solved artistic problems in the past, how they've brought stories to life, I find that using their same method, not copying them, but using the same sort of stepping stones that they used, I come to a conclusion that doesn't copy theirs, but has a sort of sympathetic feeling of age to it, rather than being very modern and very digital and very harsh. And it just suits me better.
Beyond these franchises that you have already worked on, has another that you haven't illustrated anything for yet has caught your eye and has sparked your imagination to also do something in this style?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of work for a book by Susanna. I've forgotten her surname. Stranger Novel, Dr. Jonathan Stranger, Mr. Novel, and I would like to do more on that because it's gorgeous. There is a TV series already done, but I think the aesthetics could be better. I'd like to do more for Terry Pratchett. I find the Discworld fascinating. I'm desperate to do more of the classic Victorian Gothic stories, Dorian Gray, the Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, as they were written in the book, not how they have been done by Hollywood. I'd love to do H.G. Wells's own version of War of the Worlds, not the Hollywood version. So there are lots of sort of old pieces of literature that I'd love to go and try and do as the author intended. There's so many. Also, I keep hearing about, there are some modern things, like I keep hearing about The Witcher, and people keep saying that it would suit my style of working, and there was something about elves recently that someone mentioned today that I should look into. So yeah, there are some computer games that, even though I don't play computer games, the aesthetics seem really beautiful and thoughtful and intriguing, and I'd like to try myself and make them really, really traditional, which it sounds counterintuitive to take something digital and computer game and to make it look like it came from an old Bible 500 years ago, but I'm tempted anyway.
When we were at Europe, you talked about you were doing some work for the Tolkien Estate. I would like to ask about
The Tolkien Society.
Tolkien Society. I would like to ask about that and other projects that we've been working on beyond your more personal work.
I usually do trading cards for various companies. I've worked for a company called Tops in the past, which allowed me to work on various Star Wars projects, including the Clone Wars TV series. And I think I've worked for them 5 times, and I did their Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I worked for a company called Cryptozoic for the television series Penny Dreadful. But I prefer to work for smaller trading card companies that do work on mythology and fairy tales. So I have more scope for creating the character and allowing my own vision of a character rather than just copying an existing photograph. With the Tolkien Society, I exhibited with them this year, and it's my work that's featured on the cover and the back cover of their annual publication this year, which is quite prestigious. So I love Tolkien to death, so I'm ridiculously excited about that.
Can you tell us what you plan on doing in the future if you have more opportunities like that that you're going to work on?
I want to work on a calendar based, again, on Tolkien landscapes, fusing it with actual British landscapes that exist, not so much the landscapes that Tolkien was inspired or theoretically inspired by, but ones that seem to have the same spirit or aesthetic that I had in my head when I read the books from a teenager onwards. So I'd like to bring out a really luscious landscape calendar. I've also recently sent off my portfolio to Wizards of the Coast to see if they might want to hire me for Magic the Gathering. I don't know, probably not, but if not, I'll try again in the future. I'm also doing some test pieces for the Sandman, a large one of the Sandman and one of Death, for my friend to put in front of the editors there, which may be used as pinups. So there's a few opportunities that I really just have to sort of grab and get to work with, as well as my own story. I'm quietly in the background writing a story that I want to illustrate as well, but I'm keeping quiet about that for now.
So that people may know where to reach you, where are the places that you feature your art, or that people may either contact you or look at what you're doing at the moment? What are the links and other places that people can look forward to?
The place I update the most tends to be my Facebook art page, Bohemian Weasel, or one word. I'm Bohemian Weasel everywhere, in fact, and I have a website as well, bohemianweasel.com, that acts as a sort of nice archive for all the major pieces I've done so far. But to stay in touch with recent pieces, and also a contest I'll be doing in January, I think, where the winner will get to choose an original painting as their prize. So I'd say, yeah, Facebook would be the first option. But I'm on Twitter as well, so everywhere, really, with Bohemian Weasel, all one word.
So I would like to thank you for the time that you gave us today, and we hope that you find success in future, and maybe you're doing work for the adaptation of the Silmarillion, maybe in the future, God. Or the Lord of the Rings TV series that they're maybe or may not doing. I do not know.
No, it's been signed. No, Amazon have done the deal for that.
Okay.
It's official.
Maybe that then. Maybe that.
I would love to. Give me a job with talking.
Thank you very much, and we hope you all the best.